Black Buffalo Zero products are intended for adults age 21 and older who are consumers of comparable products. If you're an adult age 21 and older who dips, I want to tell you about Black Buffalo Zero pouches. What are they made of? Pretty simple. Cured edible green leaves. Food-grade ingredients. Most importantly, there's no nicotine or tobacco. All proudly made here in the U.S. So if you're 21 and older and want to learn more about Black Buffalo Zero, head over to blackbuffalozero.com to learn more. You can buy their pouch online, ship directly to most states. Black Buffalo Zero, zero nicotine, zero tobacco, 100% ritual.
Streaming has gotten way too complicated, but you can hack the system with Prime Video. It has everything in one app with one password. See Roadhouse, Giannis, The Marvelous Journey, and the National Women's Soccer League all included with Prime. Plus, you can buy Premier Boxing or stream the NHL and NBA playoffs on Max with the Bleacher Report Sports add-on, or add Paramount Plus for the Masters on CBS. Prime Video. It's all your favorite content in one place. Restrictions apply. Prime membership required for add-on subscriptions. See Amazon.com/AmazonPrime for details.
This is Jeff T from the Club 520 Podcast. When it comes to your feet, eBay's got your back. When you see the blue check mark that says authenticity guaranteed, that means real experts are checking your sneakers. Every stitch, down to the sole. They even smell them, because nothing says fresh like the scent of real kicks. So kick back and relax. From the drop to your doorstep, eBay doesn't play games with your sneaker game. Ensure your next purchase is the real deal with eBay authenticity guaranteed. Visit ebay.com for terms.
Hi, let's talk about Pro Plan Sport. Pro Plan Sport is advanced nutrition made to fuel strength and stamina in active dogs like yours. So wherever your next journey together takes you, start it off right with the high-performance fuel your dog needs to keep pushing you every step of the way. Pro Plan Sport. Learn more at ProPlanSport.com.
Thanks for listening to the Best of Herd Podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday from 12 to 3 Eastern, 9 to noon Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and FS1. Find your local station for the Herd at FoxSportsRadio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching Herd.
This is the Best of the Herd with Colin Cowherd on Fox Sports Radio.
Welcome to the Herd. Joy Taylor in for Colin Cowherd all week. He is taking a luxurious looking vacation. I haven't been following Colin's Instagram for his entire trip, but he did post today he's in Tuscany. So he is enjoying himself with his wife Anne, getting some much-deserved time off. So I am in with Alex Curry all week on The Herd. Hey, Alex.
Dr. Joy. Can we just start with that? Congratulations.
Thank you.
Does it feel different? Do you feel like a doctor?
I do feel like a doctor.
Heck yeah, you do.
No, I am not a medical doctor. So if you are with me and there is a medical emergency, you should still call 911 as soon as possible. But all jokes aside, thank you, Alex. I gave the commencement speech at my alma mater this weekend at Barry University at Lone Depot Park, formerly Marlins Park. So a big stadium, which I'm not going to lie, was a little daunting when I was walking in. I was very prepared.
Of course.
It's different, obviously, than, you know, I was saying I was nervous leading up to the speech all week. And everyone was like, well, why are you nervous? Like, you talk on TV every day. But I talk to you and Ryan.
You talk to a camera.
You know, Shannon and Skipper are here in the studio. And, you know, obviously our amazing crew. But there's not 4,000 people
live
here
staring at you.
Yes.
Give me all the advice. Let me soak it in.
Right.
This next chapter of my life, Joy. Tell me how it's going to be.
Right.
Dr. Joy.
And I've been there. I've been in that seat before. So you know how it feels. And it's like I said, it's like speaking at 2,000 people's wedding. Like, this is a huge life moment.
It's a little pressure.
And this,
just a tad bit. But you crushed it.
I was walking out. Thank you. I was walking out, and you know I'm not a huge crier. And I was walking out onto the field, and I was like, you know, you start to feel that little thing.
Uh-huh.
And I was like, oh, no.
Oh, gosh.
No.
Could you imagine?
Suppress all feelings. Capricorn, engage. We are not getting emotional right now. But no, it was really cool. It was, thank you very much to Barry University for having me and everyone listening to my speech, which does feel weird sometimes still giving people advice.
I feel that all the time. I'm like, I don't know. right? I'm just trying to fake it till you make it.
We kind of do know.
Yeah.
Because we've been through some things.
True.
But, you know, you feel a lot of responsibility, yeah, obviously, giving someone advice on the next chapter, literally, of their lives. But they gave me an honorary doctorate, a doctor of humane letters, which was very exciting and a very beautiful framed.
Where's it going?
I'm going to put it in my office.
Yeah, that's nice.
Yeah.
Seems like the right place.
That's a good place for it. Or I probably
behind
should put
you
it like,
for, like,
in my
Zooms and
in like
hits.
The guest bathroom, like, just so you know.
Oh, yeah. You're at Dr. Joy's house.
Dr. Joy's house.
You better watch
bathroom
out.
Bathroom is probably a weird place for that. But no, it was great. And it was F1 weekend in Miami, which
so
was insane.
Crazy.
Insane. So I went to the qualifying races on Saturday, which is my first. I've been to NASCAR races and truck races, but I've never been to a Formula One race. And it was, I mean, I can't use the words to describe it. Like, if you have the, it's going to be in Vegas next year. It's going to be in Miami every year. So you should definitely go. Always a great excuse to go to Miami. But they did an amazing job. They need a few more extra pedestrian bridges, my note. But it was an amazing scene. And there were so many people there. And it was a pretty incredible weekend in Miami. But exciting stuff. So we have
so
a fun
cool.
show today. Obviously, it's still the NBA playoffs, so we will talk a lot of NBA today and get a little NFL news in as well. We'll talk to Antoine Walker, NBA champ, three-time NBA All-Star, Ryan Hollins, former NBA center and Rockets TV analyst and a friend of the show, Megan Triplett, Memphis Grizzlies reporter. So there's a lot of controversy going on with Ja Morant and the knee. Jordan Poole, is it dirty? So we'll find out what Memphis Grizzlies fans are feeling about all of that and the team as well. And then Josina Anderson, who had a very juicy, interesting report about Baker Mayfield and the Browns and how the NFL is reacting to the trades and the Deshaun Watson situation, which I assumed was going to be how NFL owners were going to react to that contract, or that $230 million guaranteed. And it seems as if that is the case. But the big news this morning, Woj reported that Adrian Wojnarowski, that the league MVP is Nikola Jokic. So congrats to him. Back-to-back MVP. Now, I will start this off by saying he's absolutely deserving of the league MVP. So everything I'm going to say is not to discredit the incredible season that he had, the unbelievable level of player that he is, and what he did to contribute to that team's success in the regular season. That said, I always had Embiid as my MVP. And the issue with the league MVP for the NBA is the same every single year. It is truly a regular season award. But we don't judge the value and the success on the grand scale of professional athletes' careers based off of just what they do during the regular season, unless you're talking about a 20-year career or someone who is on the next level of skill, which obviously Jokic is. But we can't put him in that other category until he has the postseason success to match with it. And him getting back-to-back MVPs, when you see what happens in the postseason against the best competition, who, by the way, are also dealing with injuries, are also dealing with players missing, you truly see who is on the next level and who is the MVP. And that's my issue with this award every single year. It's become really unfun to talk about because we're arguing these semantics. We're arguing between levels of greatness that seem a bit silly. But it also is kind of the NBA's fault. Stop giving this award out when we're in the middle of the postseason. It takes away all of the lust of the award. It takes away the polish when you start to see what these teams do in the postseason. Give it as soon as the NBA regular season is over, before we start getting tainted by what happens in the postseason. They always wait. Now we know it's Jokic. Where's Jokic? Did we watch Jokic this weekend? We did not. Yes, it's a regular season award. But here we are watching Giannis be the best player in the world and Joel Embiid come back and have the impact that he's had on this series. The Heat would have swept the Sixers without Joel Embiid on the floor, without question, even with Harden's performance last night. When you're talking about back-to-back MVPs, you're in a rare air of greatness. It should be special. It should be sacred when you're talking about back-to-back MVPs. And you'll notice the name on here that everyone always brings up when you talk to about back-to-back MVPs. Bill Russell, Wilt Chamberlain, Kareem, Moses Malone, Larry Bird, Magic Johnson, Michael Jordan, Tim Duncan, LeBron James, Steph Curry, Giannis, Nikola Jokic, and of course, Steve Nash. Now, Steve Nash has been argued that he shouldn't have been back-to-back MVP forever. And I'm not saying that Jokic is going to end his career in that space, but it does kind of feel like, all right, it's great during the regular season. I know everyone's going to argue about the injuries, and that's fair, and they wouldn't have been there without Jokic, and that's fair. But man, I mean, you're looking at the Sixers, who are a good team, up against the Miami Heat without Joel Embiid, and it's not close. And you've got Harden out there. So I really struggle to feel super excited about this MVP. It is obviously still an incredible award and an incredible accomplishment to win a league MVP, to win back-to-back MVPs is next level. But it's like, I can't unsee what I'm watching with Joel Embiid. I can't unsee what I'm watching with Giannis. Give it as soon as the regular season is over, and maybe I'll feel differently about it. But you drag it out through the postseason, and you really just start to see greatness separate. And I get it, it's a team game, but this is an individual award. And when you see the impact that Giannis is having without Chris Middleton, and Joel Embiid is having when he's out up against a team like the Miami Heat, it's really, really hard for me to sit here and say that I wasn't completely right about Joel Embiid this whole time. Anyway, speaking of Philly, they won 116-108 last night. I'm going to get to my Heat in a second. But James Harden had a vintage James Harden game. Hit anything he wanted. 31 points, 6 threes, and obviously the MVP, Joel Embiid, added 24 points and 11 rebounds. But it was just a recipe for a disaster for the Heat last night. And you really saw what Harden is still capable of in that performance. Here's what gives me pause while we're all going crazy about James Harden. And listen, from the jump, I said that the Sixers won this trade. I thought that Harden was going to be an immediate contributor to this team, that he was going to be of huge value. And while he has struggled throughout this series and did not last night, the Heat couldn't possibly shoot worse than they did. 20% from three. You live by the three, you die by the three. And you're looking at what James Harden was able to do. That's vintage James Harden. That's just what it is. But is he able to put this together for an entire series is the question. And that is why when you look at his numbers this series, it's pretty obvious. One, he obviously plays better when Joel Embiid is on the floor. And two, he is doing better when he's not in Miami, which is going to hopefully be the saving grace for the Miami Heat, that if this game goes seven, they do have home court advantage. But getting to the Miami Heat really quickly, if you're going to shoot that terribly from three, I'm going to need Spoelstra to make an adjustment or two. Everyone's talking about Duncan Robinson this morning, which I think is completely fair. I am aware that he is a defensive liability, but if you're going to pay a three-point specialist 5 years, $90 million, when you're shooting 20% from three, I don't know. Maybe just try it. Change it up. Give it a whirl. No one's going to freak out. In fact, they are freaking out. Twitter is going insane last night that Duncan couldn't get a minute in that game last night. I get it. But you just squandered a 40-point performance by Jimmy Butler, a certified star, by the way, two-way player. I'm not going to question Spo's greatness, of course, but maybe make some adjustments. I'm looking forward to seeing how James Harden maintains this level of play throughout the rest of the series. But that was a huge game for him last night. And it was awesome to see the passion in James Harden again. I mean, he was really electric. He really had a lot of soul in his performance last night. And this is why I've liked Philly all along, because I think obviously Joel Embiid is the MVP. But James Harden, when he plays up to the level that we know James Harden can, he's impossible to guard, even if he isn't as fast as he used to be. But that series just got very interesting. So Joy Taylor and Alex Curry in for the Herd with you all week as Colin is on vacation. We'll get to Antoine Walker a little bit later in the show. But these NBA playoffs have been incredible. They've been extremely physical, though, and some of the animosity is pouring over into some incidents that have led to injury. Are we going to keep that same energy when we critique the eras in basketball? We'll talk about that next on The Herd.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Herd weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio, FS1, and the iHeartRadio app.
Attention all wrestling aficionados. Wrestling with Freddie makes its triumphant return for an electrifying fourth season. This is Freddie Prinze Jr., and I am beyond thrilled to announce that our wrestling extravaganza is back, and joining me once again is the one and only Jeff Dye.
Get ready as we highlight the most jaw-dropping matches, dissect the fiercest feuds, and uncover the latest twists and turns in the world of pro wrestling.
We're dusting off our legendary side quests and unleashing a barrage of brand new segments that will keep you guys on the edge of your seat, like our talks on Unsanctioned Thursdays.
Freddie, you know we gotta give the people what they want. This season, we have an all-star lineup of special guests who are gonna be gracing our podcast, bringing with them their own unique insights, experiences, and all of that in the world of pro wrestling and beyond.
Whether you're a seasoned wrestling veteran or a fresh-faced newcomer, we promise an experience like no other. So buckle up, wrestling fans. Listen to Wrestling with Freddie as part of the My Cultura podcast network, available on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Last season on the Choosing Sides F1 podcast, we established unequivocally that F1 is the pinnacle of motorsports.
Lily Herman, my co-host in season one, helped me choose a team, a driver, and then...
Well, we sent you on your jolly way.
Yeah.
I'm Tony Karen Brown, a tech, culture, and F1 commentator.
I'm Michael Costa, comedian, Daily Show correspondent.
And we're back with season two because, as it turns out, F1's newest fan is still a little...
dazed and confused.
Join us for season two of Choosing Sides F1 as we dive deeper into the rabbit hole of the pinnacle of motorsports.
Who makes money here?
What's CFD?
How do you manage a tire?
You, get back in there. What are the rumors? What's the gossip? But you also know that someone's listening to your radio.
I'm going to pull up a picture of a tea cozy. I want to see what this thing looks like.
Are you going to be doing that accent this whole pod?
Listen to season two of Choosing Sides F1 on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts,
or wherever you get your podcasts. You find it.
The Big Take from Bloomberg News brings you what's shaping the world's economies with the smartest and best-informed business reporters around the world.
Western nations like the U.S. and Europe.
Mexico will likely have its first female president.
And then you have China.
And help you understand what's happening, what it means, and why it matters.
He'll get his yo-yos to Europe in time. But the longer this drags on, the more worry he's getting.
They knew that they needed to do this as fast as they possibly could to get a drug on the market as fast as they could.
I'm David Gura.
I'm Sarah Holder.
I'm Saleha Mohsen. We cover the stories behind what's moving money and markets.
Basically, everyone was expecting, if not a calamity, certainly a recession.
But the problem is that that paperwork, as our reporting showed, is fake.
As someone who's covering the market, I'm often very worried about an imminent collapse. So I'm thinking about it quite often.
Listen to The Big Take on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Julian Edelman from Games with Names, and we're on a search to find the greatest games of all time. I'm talking Hall of Famers, MVPs, gold medalists.
I absolutely hate the Colts, bro. This game, I swear, led to the Deflategate.
Hey, guys, this ball's a little flat.
Ever wonder what a locker room feels like at a halftime of a Super Bowl?
Julian walking around, I'm pretty sure he had his shirt off for reasons I'm not sure. He was saying, gotta believe.
Oh, you gotta believe. From 18-1 with Eli.
Are you calling Bill just a cheater? Is that what you're saying right now?
He's looking for an advantage.
The 2004 ALCS with Big Pop.
The Red Sox in 2004 bounced back after the 3-0 in a winner chicken dinner, homie.
The immaculate reception with Terry Bradshaw.
Fired the ball. I hear the roar of the crowd. I never thought he caught the ball, but he did.
We're going to dive deep into the most iconic games with the most iconic people. New episodes dropping weekly. Listen to Games with Names on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back. The Herd. Joy Taylor in for Colin Cowherd all week. He is on his European vacation, which I cannot wait to hear about. It's going to be very interesting.
Oh, it's going to be epic. He said he hasn't been to Europe ever or in a while.
I don't know. I would imagine he's never Italy.
Okay,
yeah,
that's what
I'd
it
imagine
was.
He's been to Europe. He's a big him and are big travelers, but never to Italy. Which you spent some time in Italy.
I studied abroad in Italy, so yeah. I lived in Italy for 6 months in college, and then I went back 10 years after. And it's kind of like my favorite little place. I'm going again in June for a family wedding, so I'm just like
so jealous. Whoo. I actually, when Alex so first excited. Told me that she was going, I was like, how can I
go with you?
Maybe I should crash the yeah. wedding. I have actually crashed a wedding. Not crashed, but I've gone to a wedding that I was not
Fun.
Technically invited to, and a bachelorette party that I wasn't technically invited to.
Nah.
The wedding did not go as well as the bachelorette party. I guess I'm a better hang on a bachelorette party. I mean, they knew I was coming. I didn't just like show up, but I wasn't originally invited. Anyway, Joy Taylor and Alex Curry in for Colin this week. There's been a lot of physicality in these NBA playoffs. A lot of animosity, a lot of fouls. In fact, through Sunday's games, including the play-in games, there's been 75 technical fouls, 20 flagrant fouls, and 9 player ejections. So for perspective, through the playoffs, 2020, through the first two rounds, 68 technical fouls, 28 flagrant fouls, and 4 player ejections. The last postseason with more ejections was the 2019 playoffs with 12 ejections. So we're already at 9. So there's a little added tension this year with the ejections and the fouls. And there's been some incidents where there's been some controversial ejections. Obviously, the Draymond Green situation, most recently Dylan Brooks. And, well, not most recently, Jordan Poole was most recently, but Dylan Brooks as well. In the first round, there was Jimmy Butler and Trae Young. And now we have this Jordan Poole, John Morant situation. So I don't think that the Dylan Brooks foul was meant with intention to be hurtful, but the outcome was that. I don't think that Jordan Poole necessarily meant to hurt John Morant, but it appears the outcome is that. So you can have a dirty play and not be a dirty player, just like you can do something wrong and not be a bad person. Your reputation does matter, but it does seem to be a theme throughout these playoffs that people are sort of toeing the line of what is dirty and what could put people in compromising situations to cause injuries and just the normal level of tension that you have in the playoffs. So the Ja Morant thing is significant. Obviously, Ja could probably miss the next game. And here's Taylor Jenkins after game 3 on the pool knee grab of Ja Morant.
Coach, when you say Jordan grabbed his knee and yanked it, are you saying he did it on accident, on purpose? Was he trying
watch
to watch
the film? I don't know.
Oh, you know.
I'm saying that happened. That triggered it.
Okay. But are you saying, I'm asking,
are you
saying that he did it on
head.
Purpose or accident?
No, I didn't say that it went on purpose. I said the play
no,
happened.
No, no. Which one is it?
There was a grab. I'm just curious what happened.
Look, you can argue the semantics of whether that caused the Ja Morant injury. No one knows but God. Okay. Or Ja if he immediately felt injured. But if you're arguing that, like, I don't know, you don't have enough stuff to do today. I can't get into that with you. There's no way for you to know if that's true or not whatsoever. Now, we can talk about whether or not that play is dirty. It looks dirty to me. You can argue that Ja Morant could be stronger and that wouldn't happen. I don't know what the point of that is either. Pulling at someone's knee when they're awkwardly on the corner of their ankle could potentially cause an injury. And when you talk about dirty plays, if there's a pie chart and if I do this play, 10% chance no one gets injured and it just causes a little scuffle, 90% chance someone gets injured. Okay, it's a dirty play. That doesn't necessarily make you a dirty player, but it's a dirty play. And when it's causing you to lose stars in playoff series, that's a problem. But I would say, and I don't want anyone to be injured, I love Ja, I don't like that this happens. I do think there is a bit of a contradiction when it comes to fans and media, though, with what we're watching and what is constantly argued with this era of basketball. All I ever hear is, this is AAU basketball, everyone's friends, there's no rivalries, everyone wants to play together, all these players are soft. Then you have this level of animosity tick up. You have the flagrant fouls go up. You have the ejections go up. You have incidents like this happening in multiple series, and everyone's complaining. So what is it that you want? Because this was nothing compared to old school basketball or tackling each other in the 80s. And that's all I hear is that was the better brands of basketball. Now, I disagree. I think basketball is better now. I think the ability to have multiple types of players that you don't have to be a bruiser in order to be successful in the NBA is better for the sport. I think it's a more global sport because of that. And I think the game is more fun to watch. And I am a MJ zealot. It's not that I didn't enjoy old school basketball. But I do think you should be allowed to allow shooters to shoot and skilled players to have success without getting tackled. They were punching people in the face.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Herd weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific. Hey, this is Jason McIntyre. Join me every weekday morning on my podcast, Straight Fire with Jason McIntyre. This isn't your typical sports pod pushing the same tired narratives down your throat every day. Straight Fire gives you honest opinions on all the biggest sports headlines, accurate stats to help you win big at the sports book, and all the best guests. Do yourself a favor and listen to Straight Fire with Jason McIntyre on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Attention all wrestling aficionados. Wrestling with Freddie makes its triumphant return for an electrifying fourth season. This is Freddie Prinze Jr., and I am beyond thrilled to announce that our wrestling extravaganza is back, and joining me once again is the one and only Jeff Dye.
Get ready as we highlight the most jaw-dropping matches, dissect the fiercest feuds, and uncover the latest twists and turns in the world of pro wrestling.
We're dusting off our legendary side quests and unleashing a barrage of brand new segments that will keep you guys on the edge of your seat, like our talks on Unsanctioned Thursdays.
Freddie, you know we gotta give the people what they want. This season, we have an all-star lineup of special guests who are gonna be gracing our podcast, bringing with them their own unique insights, experiences, and all of that in the world of pro wrestling and beyond.
Whether you're a seasoned wrestling veteran or a fresh-faced newcomer, we promise an experience like no other. So buckle up, wrestling fans. Listen to Wrestling with Freddie as part of the My Cultura Podcast Network, available on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Last season on the Choosing Sides F1 podcast, we established unequivocally that F1 is the pinnacle of motorsports.
Lily Herman, my co-host in season one, helped me choose a team, a driver, and then...
Well, we sent you on your jolly way.
Yeah.
I'm Tony Karen Brown, a tech, culture, and F1 commentator.
I'm Michael Costa, comedian, Daily Show correspondent.
And we're back with season two because, as it turns out, F1's newest fan is still a little...
dazed and confused.
Join us for season two of Choosing Sides F1 as we dive deeper into the rabbit hole of the pinnacle of motorsports.
Who makes money here?
What's CFD?
How do you manage a tire?
You, get back in there. What are the rumors? What's the gossip? But you also know that someone's listening to your radio.
I'm going to pull up a picture of a tea cozy. I want to see what this thing looks like. Are you going to be doing that accent this whole pod?
Listen to season two of Choosing Sides F1 on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts,
or wherever you get your podcasts. You find it.
The Big Take from Bloomberg News brings you what's shaping the world's economies with the smartest and best-informed business reporters around the world.
Western nations like the U.S. and Europe.
Mexico will likely have its first female president.
And then you have China.
And help you understand what's happening, what it means, and why it matters.
He'll get his yo-yos to Europe in time. But the longer this drags on, the more worry he's getting.
They knew that they needed to do this as fast as they possibly could to get a drug on the market as fast as they could.
I'm David Gura.
I'm Sarah Holder.
I'm Saleha Mohsen.
We cover the stories behind what's moving money and markets.
Basically, everyone was expecting, if not a calamity, certainly a recession.
But the problem is that that paperwork, as our reporting showed, is fake.
As someone who's covering the market, I'm often very worried about an imminent collapse. So I'm thinking about it quite often.
Listen to The Big Take on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Julian Edelman from Games with Names, and we're on a search to find the greatest games of all time. I'm talking Hall of Famers, MVPs, gold medalists.
I absolutely hate the Colts, bro. This game, I swear, led to the Deflategate.
Hey, guys, this ball's a little flat.
Ever wonder what a locker room feels like at a halftime of a Super Bowl?
Julian walking around, I'm pretty sure he had his shirt off for reasons I'm not sure. He was saying, gotta believe.
Oh, you gotta believe. From 18-1 with Eli.
Are you calling Bill just a cheater? Is that what you're saying right now?
He's looking for an advantage.
The 2004 ALCS with Big Papi.
The Red Sox in 2004 bounced back after the 3-0 in a winner chicken dinner, homie.
The immaculate reception with Terry Bradshaw.
Fired the ball. I hear the roar of the crowd. I never thought he caught the ball, but he did.
We're going to dive deep into the most iconic games with the most iconic people. New episodes dropping weekly. Listen to Games with Names on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Antoine Walker, Fox Sports NBA analyst, is joining us now. All right, I'm worried. I'm not going to lie. As I should be, I picked James Harden to win the MVP, Joel Embiid to win the MVP, and I thought James Harden was going to be significant for the Sixers. I like them a lot, so maybe I spoke this into existence. But It is a 7-game series, so we'll start with the Heat. What do you make of Spo not having Duncan Robinson in the rotation at all? Is that strange to you? I know he's a defensive liability, but they were shooting 20% from three.
I definitely think it's strange. I think, you know, we always talk about how good of a coach Spo is and his adjustments and things he do. But I'm starting to wonder a little bit why he's not in the lineup. I know Victor Oladipo has played well, so I think that's one of the reasons. But I think he has to make a real gutsy decision, and I think it has to come from Kyle Lowry. I just think Kyle Lowry is not playing at the level that they need them to play at. He's not making shots. He's not making threes. And you may have to limit his minutes and put Duncan Robinson back in the lineup. The Heat are one of the best three-point shooting teams. They live in doubt the three-point shot, and they need to start making some if they want to win this series, because – Embiid gives them more presence in the inside to defend. So they're going to have to put some shooters out there. But I do believe this is one of those series where home court advantage, it's going to really matter. I like the Heat in seven to take care of business. I don't think Philly can get a win on the road, even with Embiid back.
What do you make of Harden's performance last night? Do you think that that is an outlier, or that's something that he can string together for multiple games?
It was refreshing to see him make some shots and to be aggressive. We haven't seen that from him throughout the playoffs for long periods of time. So it was good to see it in that retrospect, but I wouldn't bank on it. That's something I wouldn't, if I'm Philly, that I would bank on. I mean, obviously you want him to be aggressive, but you want Embiid to continue to get comfortable wearing the mask. And obviously we know about his hand, but you want him to continue to play at a high level. But Harden has to do it consistently. Can he take this show on the road? And not saying it's easy to do at home, but can he put this type of performance up on the road? They're going to need it from him.
We're talking to Antoine Walker, Joy Taylor in for Colin Cowherd on The Herd. So we pretty much knew this was coming, but Woj tweeted out today that Nikola Jokic is the league MVP. He has won back-to-back MVPs. Now, I had Joel Embiid as the MVP this season. I have lots of thoughts on this, but do you think that Jokic deserved to win back-to-back MVPs?
No, I don't think he deserved to win it. And I know Jokic had a great year, but I think it's hard to pick a team that finishes in the sixth seed. I know they won 48 games, but in history, this award, usually you reward guys that win and also put up great individual numbers and carry their team to a good playoff seed. And Jokic didn't do that. I know the analytical numbers, and I know he's off the chart with that. But I had Giannis. I had Giannis to be the MVP. And if he didn't, I was very happy with Joel Embiid getting it, because I thought last year, if Embiid did not get hurt, he would have won it last year. But to bounce back the way he did this year with the Ben Simmons situation and getting Harden late, just everything that he had to deal with, we finally saw Embiid fight through that, play through injuries, play a complete season. I thought he deserved it more than any of the three that was in the running at the end. So, even though Jokic had a great year, don't want to take anything away from him, but I thought those other two guys were more deserving because their team were more successful.
Yeah, I agree. So this NBA postseason has been a little chippier than usual, which I'm okay with. You know, I'm a Heat fan. We're okay being goons. But I do think there's a line that you kind of have to ride when you allow players to be a little physical and have that kind of animosity. Somebody's going to take it over the line. And we've sort of seen that over the past couple games and most recently the Ja Morant, Jordan Poole situation. Do you think that was a dirty play? Do you think it was a code breaker type of situation?
I don't think it was a dirty play, but I think by when you suspend Dylan Brooks for his play, and we know that play was a more physical play, what Dylan Brooks' play was, you set the precedence that every team is going to be looking for someone to get kicked out no matter what. And I think that was Memphis just, you know, crying out. They were upset that they lost one of their best players. And Dylan Brooks is not that type of player. And Jordan Poole is not that type of player where they're out trying to hurt people. And I think when the league suspended him, and I think the league suspended Dylan Brooks because of the outcome of what happened, the result of, you know, Gary Payton getting hurt. And I think that's why he got suspended, and Steve Kerr lobbied for that, and they end up getting it. And I think that's where Memphis is just trying to, you know, throw something back at them. But I love the fact that this is a physical series. I'm old school. I'm used to physical play. But the game is not called like that no more. So we're seeing so many. I know you get frustrated like I do. Every time somebody gets hit, they go to the monitor to see if something's wrong. It makes basketball crazy now. Every game, you stop in the game 6 or 7 times for a foul. So the game is not – they're not going to let you be as physical as you want to be. But I think the suspension of Dylan Brooks has just got everybody looking for – that one, the run bad foul to try to turn it around.
Yeah, I kind of set the tone for everything for the postseason. I agree with you. It was an outcome decision there. So there was a bit of an incident last night with Chris Paul and some fans in Dallas. I've had incidents with fans. I think people need to keep their hands to themselves. It's a very simple solve. But, you know, we're seeing more and more of this around. You know, we just saw this with the Chappelle Show out here, someone jumping on stage and people feeling really entitled. What do you think the consequences should be for a fan who does something like this, puts their hands on a family member?
Oh, this is tough. I mean, obviously, especially when you are made aware of it and you on the court. I mean, I don't blame Chris for being aggressive and wanting to get involved, but I think all you could do at that point is get them removed. I had a situation like this in Boston. Well, I was playing in Boston, but I called my boys down. They was in the stands, and I called my boys over to address the situation with a fan after getting involved with a fan. So it happens. I mean, obviously, that's all you can do is ask for the arena security and NBA security to handle it right away so you don't have to get involved. But this is what comes with playoff basketball. So it's unfortunate, but you do got fans. Once they get them 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 drinks in them, They gonna say and do things that you may not want to do. So you got to just handle it with the right people, with the security.
I don't know if he was old enough to drink. He looked pretty young. I would have been checking his ID. Thank you, Antoine, for stopping by. I always love having you on.
All right. Thank you.
Want more Herd? The Herd streams 24 hours a day, 7 days a week within the iHeartRadio app. Search Herd to listen live or on demand whenever you'd like.
Chris Paul had an incident. Well, Chris Paul's family had an incident with a fan last night, and he tweeted about it after the game. He said, "Want to fine players for saying stuff to the fans, but the fans can put their hands on our families. Bleep that." And Dave McMenamin followed up. He tweeted, "A source familiar with Chris Paul's tweet after Game 4 told ESPN that Paul's mother had hands put on her by Dallas fans, and Paul's wife was also pushed. To make matters worse, Paul's kids witnessed it. They felt very unsafe," the source said. We have a video of it. Chris Paul is coming, you know, trying to come after the fan who looks like a very young kid. I mean, who knows how old he is? Maybe he's over 18 or 21 or whatever. And the woman with him is clearly rushing him off. And honestly, it doesn't matter how young he is. If you're putting your hands on someone, there are consequences to that. So it's really irrelevant. But clearly, Chris Paul is visibly angry and trying to go after him. And listen, if you put your hands on my mama, good luck to you. I don't know. There's, you know, I'm probably going to try and send you to whatever maker you believe in. But so it's understandable. It's Mother's Day. Like, I mean, come on. Like, you got to have limitations here with what is allowed in these arenas. And I know everyone on Twitter wants to rush to, well, why are families there? It's playoff basketball. It's very simple. Keep your hands to yourself. It's not a complicated concept. There should be no excuse for people harassing people's families or anyone else for that matter. I don't understand where people get into this fake tough guy mode where they're entitled to touch other people. It does not end well. And the whole group of people, they're like, "Where's the video? I don't see a video. They must be lying." What does Chris Paul and his family have to gain from lying about a fan putting his hands on Chris Paul's mother and wife in front of his kids? What does he have to gain? When people come up with these crazy concepts, I'm like, please just boil it down to me. The one reason, the one positive, what is the win to Chris Paul's mother making that up? What? What on earth could what could possibly be the reason? What was the reason? It makes no sense. This is not that far-fetched that this would happen. It's nonsense. You believe there's nanobots in vaccines, but you won't believe an entitled kid will put his hands on someone at an NBA game? I mean, what are we supposed to do here with this concept? It's insane. I don't get it. We just watched this with Chappelle. People do get into their brains that they are capable of doing anything. You sit on the internet for long enough of your people tell you that you're Superman, You're going to mess around and find out. I just think that these arenas need to be more punitive with the actions. Colin and I talk about it all the time. Now, if you act up on a plane, you will get fined hundreds of thousands of dollars because you're putting other people around you in not just an inconvenient, but an unsafe environment. You're not just entitled to act however you want, wherever you want, around whoever you want, and do whatever you want to people. Whoever told you that lied to you. They're setting you up for extreme failure. I just gave advice to a bunch of people. Now I'm going to get it again. Don't touch other people. It doesn't matter if you think you're tough. You're not. There are consequences to this. This is not the metaverse, okay? Take the goggles off. Real life, you can't touch other people.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Herd weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio, FS1, and the iHeartRadio app.
We'll talk to Jacina Anderson in just a little bit. Joy Taylor and Alex Curry in for Colin Cowherd this week. She had an interesting report a few days ago. She said, I spoke to a team source that expressed interest in Baker Mayfield, had talks, but they cooled, not wanting to pay the asking price, feeling he has to be cut. Their follow-up comment tonight, no one's trying to do the Browns any favors in this situation. I thought that was a very interesting report for multiple reasons. I think that the Browns think they are smarter than the rest of the league. They should have traded Baker before they ever brought in Deshaun Watson. The moment that you brought in Deshaun Watson and you paid him $230 million guaranteed, it's more than writing on the wall that you're done with Baker Mayfield. You've given up all of your leverage. Now, obviously, Baker Mayfield just had surgery, but he was injured last year. The league knows what Baker Mayfield is. If somebody wants to go in with Baker Mayfield, you were not going to get a high asking price, but you would probably get more than you will now when everyone knows that you have your quarterback and you're not going to keep Baker Mayfield on the roster. Why would you give the Browns anything? Why would you give them a crumb for Baker Mayfield? You've paid Deshaun Watson $230 million. You can't keep Baker Mayfield in the building. You lost all leverage. Smoke, poof, gone.
Show their hand.
There's just no hand. Yeah, the hand is gone. The hands are gone. That's what I got. That's it. Yeah. You brought in Deshaun Watson. He is the quarterback now. Baker Mayfield is not going to be there. It's like they're bad magicians. Showing your hand. Yes. Yeah. They're bad magicians. They're like dropping the cards and stuff. And
this is what I'm going to do.
Yeah.
Are you ready? At him like, watch really closely.
We see how this works.
Goodbye.
It's awkward and painful. But yeah. More than no one giving up anything for Baker Mayfield, which they should not because it's bad business. You also have Jimmy Garoppolo on the market, who is better than Baker Mayfield. And whatever, you know, Baker Mayfield fanboys are out there. Jimmy Garoppolo is better than Baker Mayfield. Like if you look at the evidence of his career success, he is better. You can talk about the team that Jimmy Garoppolo was on all you want. Baker Mayfield had an incredible roster. Did not go to a Super Bowl. So, okay, I don't want to hear it. It's not like Baker hasn't had help. Jimmy Garoppolo is better. Has he had more injuries? Yes. But they're both injury-prone players at this point who just came off surgery. One is a huge pain to deal with, bad with the media, has not elevated a team past one playoff win, and one is the opposite of that in Jimmy Garoppolo. So Jimmy Garoppolo is going to get traded for first. So you have that working against you. No one's going to give you a crumb for Baker Mayfield because you've already brought in Deshaun Watson. Jimmy Garoppolo is a better option if you're in this desperate quarterback conundrum, which will happen to some team eventually in the preseason or at some point this season. And by the way, there's no guarantee that they won't just go to their backup and ride out until next year if that happens. Like, it's kind of a desperate situation for different reasons that San Francisco and the Browns are in. So there's multiple levels to that. But I also think the other part of this, which is what I want to ask Jacina about, is that the moment that the Browns chose to give Deshaun Watson $230 million guaranteed, that didn't reset the market. It destroyed the market for starting quarterbacks. He didn't play last year. He forced his way out, and he has 22 open civil lawsuits for sexual assault. Everything is gone. There is no start for negotiating. And I think that the owners are pissed that the Browns did that, that they gave him the first fully guaranteed contract. Peter King mentioned in his article, he wrote that the Browns owners were not the most popular people at the league meetings. I think it was Steve Bisciotti that said that he didn't think he should have been the first one to receive that kind of contract. You destroyed the market. You blew it up. If I'm a a starting quarterback and I'm up for my first big contract and I'm awesome and I've been great with the team and I also don't have 22 civil lawsuits hanging over my head, why am I giving a team an inch? Run me all my money. Not only am I great, I've elevated teams, I haven't taken a year off, I haven't had an ACL surgery, and I don't have 22 open lawsuits for sexual harassment. Yes, I'm going to need all of my money. Thank you. $230 million guaranteed for Deshaun Watson completely changed all negotiations for young quarterbacks moving forward. Now, does anyone think that was a good idea for the Browns to do that other than the Browns and Deshaun Watson? No. But regardless, that is irrelevant because it happens. So it's very interesting. I want to talk to Josina about what's really happening with all this because if you're me, you're going to have to run me every dime. Every single dime. Now, I don't think that all of the quarterbacks will do that. But I do see why the league is like, nah, we're not doing the Browns any favors. You're not fooling us, guys. And I think it's the same old Browns that we've always seen.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Herd weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific.
Let's go out to Josina Anderson, senior NFL insider, USA Today, NFL insider for CBS Sports, and host of The Crew and Undefined with Josina Anderson. Josina, very happy to talk to you today. I was in Miami this weekend and I saw your report. I didn't spend a whole lot of time on social media, but I did see your report. I thought it was very, very juicy. So I've been dying to talk to you all weekend about this, but thanks for coming on with us today.
Well, first of all, I know you're trying to get to the news and all of that. We're going to do that. But first, I want to just highlight the fact that it's ladies' night on Colin Cowherd's show with you and Alex. So we're hyping that up. And you got your honorary doctorate. So we are going to raise the roof on that. So congratulations, Dr. Joy.
Thank you. Thank you, Josina.
I'll raise the roof.
You're raising a roof, lowering a roof, the ceiling's not the roof, whatever it is.
I feel very, very humble about it. I don't like to, you know, brag on myself like that. But thank you, Josina.
Girl, whatever,
I really appreciate
Dr. Joy,
it.
Please.
Okay, well, you do an amazing job covering the league as you have for a very long time. And I'm fascinated by this report, mostly because I feel like I saw this trend coming with Baker, but also the other side of it, this is a twofold story because of how the league is treating the Browns now because of the Deshaun Watson situation. So let's start with the Deshaun Watson side of it. Is the rest of the league sending a message to the Browns with this Baker Mayfield situation from what you're hearing?
I don't know so much that it's sending the Browns a message as it is somewhat of a collective perception of what these teams feel like the Browns' leverage is because of the presence of Deshaun Watson and Jacoby Brissett on their roster and knowing that eventually the idea is for Baker not to be there. Now, I have my own opinions and I've been talking about this a lot on Twitter about the concept of leverage because you can talk about leverage as static, meaning what it is right now relative to the circumstances right now. But as we all know, leverage is a fluid concept. It changes. And this, what I reported back when they had the owners meetings in West Palm Beach, Florida, is that my understanding is that the Browns, first of all, they didn't just think about this last night. They have been conceiving this for a while. And my opinion is that Andrew Berry is not a fool. So he's thought through all of these scenarios. And that includes budgeting for the probability that Baker Mayfield may have to be on the roster for a while if they couldn't get the trades taken care of. And the other thing I just wanted to mention real quick, and we can go into this, is that a lot of people have been talking about this has to do with money. They didn't get it done. The Panthers didn't get it done or what have you. And the Seahawks, he's not there yet or not coming or what have you because of money. And mechanically, that is true. But I feel that this is more of a philosophical thing, an egotistical thing. And the reason why I say that is because Baker Mayfield is getting his $18.858 regardless. That option is fully guaranteed for injury, cap, and skill, and that started with his class. He's getting his money regardless. But the point that I'm trying to make as to why I don't really think about this as money, so to speak, is because $18 million, guys, relative to what the quarterback market is now, with guys making upward of $45 million, including Deshaun Watson, is not a lot of money. So even with the Panthers, with Sam Darnold also making that 18.85, and you bring in on Matt Corral, which is going to get a third round compensation a lot, which is not a lot of money. You could, even if the Browns were to take on 50% of that, and listen to this, 9 plus 18 is still what? 27. That's not a lot of money. That's basically what the 49ers are paying Jimmy Garoppolo. This is about what people feel like the Browns should be doing, or their own personal philosophies relative to what they think the situation is with the Browns. But I do not agree.
Right. So I agree as far as the leverage thing, because that's why I feel like it didn't happen. So obviously the Deshaun Watson thing sort of came together pretty quickly, because we know there were other suitors on the market, and then the Browns came with the money, and obviously he was going to go where he's getting $230 million guaranteed, which is completely understandable. So you didn't trade Baker Mayfield, who had an injury, and if Deshaun had chosen not to come to the Browns, then you would have run it another year with Baker Mayfield, being that you are paying him that $18 million guaranteed. So I'm with you. I think the league is saying you have no leverage. You have a quarterback and Deshaun Watson that you're paying guaranteed money. You have Jacoby Brissett. We know that you don't want to keep Baker Mayfield on the roster, even if you have budgeted the money. So why would we give you a crumb for Baker Mayfield?
Because you may not want to, and we know that they don't want to, but we know that they can. First and foremost, one of the things I feel like people are not necessarily getting into is we don't know what's happening with Deshaun Watson relative to his status for the upcoming 2022 season because of the situation that you guys mentioned in the previous segment with his, you know, civil litigation that is ongoing, right? We know that from a criminal standpoint, that's over. But even at the owners' meetings in West Palm Beach, the commissioner reminded us, not that we needed it, that you do not have to be charged, just like Ben Roethlisberger wasn't, just like Ezekiel Elliott was not, and who got 4 and 6 games suspended for those situations when it was just involving one female. You don't have to be charged to be suspended. So we don't know how many games Deshaun Watson is going to be available for or not. And oh, by the way, when he did do that 5-year, $230 million contract, that $46 million average that he has was already converted to signing bonus. So now you got just that $1 million that he's going to be, what is it, $1,035,000 that he's going to be paid for this year. So Andrew has massaged the money to make this situation, you know, potentially in terms of having Baker Mayfield on the roster if need be. So they may not want to, and we know that they don't want to, but they can. And that's more important. That's the operative word, is that they can. And so when team, it's easy. And I was just talking to a source relative to the Panthers situation. We can get into what I was hearing, you know, from the Carolina situation earlier today. But my point is that it's easy to sit back now and be like, oh, you know, we don't need to do this. We don't prefer to do this, whatever, because we're not close to games. But once we start getting into the preseason, the regular season, and fans start hollering, and you're 4 games deep into a regular season, staring at 1-3 or 1-2, or we're just reminded of what your actual quarterback depth is, and your feelings might change, or even worse, something happened to your starter or your backup. Leverage is fluid.
Oh, no, that part I totally agree with. Yeah. That's why mm-hmm. I think that, well, San Francisco's situation is a little bit different, because I think there are still some questions about Trey Lance, but they both are in situations where it's known that they want to move on from Jimmy Garoppolo and Baker Mayfield, but why do it now? There's no point. You have all the leverage to just wait. You can say you're going to run with the quarterbacks that you have in Seattle or Carolina. When you get into it, you're absolutely right. Then things change, or there's an injury, which we all know. There's going to be an injury. It just depends on how deep that particular team that has the injury is at quarterback and how bad the injury is, because that's just how the league goes. So I'm with you. The leverage in the situation
and there's no
is
rush,
quite fluid.
Joy.
Yeah.
And Joy, there's no rush to do it right now. We want it done now because, you know, we want headlines. And I say we, right. I'm talking about the media, what have you. But there's literally no rush. And just, you know, I was talking to a leaked source about the Carolina situation, and I was told this morning the door is not all the way closed, you know, but they're not pressed. And I said, just like I said to you, okay, well, it's, you know, it's easy for folks not to be pressed now, but that situation can change. And Baker Mayfield is a former number one overall pick. I see James Bradberry got, you know, cut just now before we came on. That cannot happen, you know, with Baker Mayfield. I feel that Andrew has to get compensation relative to Baker Mayfield's pedigree.
See, that's the thing that I don't know is going to happen. I think it will be it will be a team that's desperate, and maybe that's why they'll get something for him. But when you look at the scale of Baker Mayfield's career, he hasn't had that much success, and he's not shown the ability to elevate a team that is struggling. He's only shown the ability to have success in a near perfect situation, and that success was one playoff win. So it's not like we're talking about somebody who's been a number one overall pick and had massive, incredible success. He's made the Browns relevant, yes, deserves credit for that, and has elevated them to a point.
Tell us how you feel, Joy.
I mean, I just say it all the time. I'm out on Baker Mayfield. I completely bought into it and thought that the culture was shifting around in Cleveland. And I think now that I've taken a step back and looked at the success over the last 4 years, nothing has really changed. They've won one playoff game, which is just fine. But like, is that what we're aiming for? I do think that they have more standards now, which is why they made the big swing for Deshaun Watson. But when you're looking at Baker Mayfield's career, he has not elevated a team that has struggled. He has not been able to thrive in situations that were dysfunctional, which may not be his fault. It's hard for anyone to do that. But you can't speak about him in the air of someone like a Joe Burrow, who went into a Cincinnati, which we did not consider to be a contender, and took them to the Super Bowl with the one of the worst offensive lines in the league. There's levels to this here. So you can talk about a number one overall pick, but that maybe was the Browns reaching. So I could see why they would want to get compensation for him. But if I'm someone else around the league, I'm like, why do I want someone that fights with local reporters, can't elevate a team that's struggling, and has won one playoff game in his career? And it's coming off surgery.
You know why? Okay, so that's a good question. And all of those are great points and are excellent points. And I do agree that there's levels to it, right? And we do give credit for Baker Mayfield, you know, raising the Cleveland Browns. I believe they were 1-31 before he got there. Obviously, they won more games since he's come there. But is an apt question, which you raise, as to whether, you know, is – you know, being the quarterback that takes you to that next level. And certainly he's accomplished that to a degree by getting them to the playoffs in the previous season. But, you know, but relative to is he that next guy? This is what I would say, because you made the point about arguing with local reporters and whether you can raise all boats and all that other stuff. I do believe that Baker Mayfield should be given room, as we all should be given room to evolve. Trust me, there are so many things, and I've tweeted this, so I'm not saying anything I'm afraid to say. I've already tweeted this. There are things that I obviously don't agree with that occurred this past season when Odell Beckham Jr. was there. However, you know, I don't believe anybody should be a prisoner of the narrative of the past, and he has room to be able to grow. I think he will learn from this. I think that, you know, hearing what people are saying in back channels or quite frankly, excuse me here, publicly, whether you're listening to Robbie Anderson or what have you, or you want to have a conversation about whether a lot of his teammates have been, you know, talking on his behalf or not, or what have you. I think Baker has absorbed all of that. And if it hurts, it should, and that's okay. He's not the only one that has gone through adversity at work, and you absorb that and you learn from it. And I do think that if he has to, you know, come back to the Browns, that he would comport himself as a professional, one, because that's what I expect, and two, because he has to. And I've talked to sources who feel like he's in a situation where he has to. And they know that. So we'll see.
Yeah, I mean, I'm with you on the grace of it all. Like, I think he is still a starting quarterback in the league, and I think he'll get another opportunity to be a starter there. I'm not saying his career is over or anything like that. And especially when
you're talking about the degree.
Yeah, I mean, I feel like I've seen enough of him to know how good he is. I don't think he has a next gear. And when you look at the roster that the Browns had, and Kevin Stefanski is a coach of the year, I'm like, what? How much more do you need? Is my point. So, of course, and I do think he will learn from this. I hope so. It couldn't have gone much worse getting replaced in the fashion that he did. So, if he does end up not playing for the Browns again, but it's a very interesting situation. I cannot wait to see how this situation and the Jimmy Garoppolo one plays out in San Francisco. But thank you so much for coming on with us, Josina. Always excellent. Senior NFL insider for USA Today and NFL insider for CBS Sports. Really appreciate you.
Queen Joy, appreciate you having me on. Good to see you, Alex.
Thank you.
Always great to see you.
It's Freddie Prinze Jr. and Jeff Dye back in the ring. Wrestling with Freddie makes its triumphant return for an electrifying fourth season. Hey, Jeff. Are you ready to rumble our way into an all-new season of Wrestling with Freddy?
You better believe I have. I've been practicing my body slams, and I'm jacked.
All right, don't go injuring yourself now. We'll be highlighting the best stories and matches of the week in wrestling from AEW, WWE, and have one-on-one talks with the best talents in the world of pro wrestling.
Listen to Wrestling with Freddy on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Last season on the Choosing Sides F1 podcast, we established unequivocally that F1 is the pinnacle of motorsports.
We did, but honestly, I was left with more questions than answers, Tony.
I'm Tony Karen Brown, a tech, culture, and F1 commentator.
And I'm Michael Costa, comedian from The Daily Show.
Join us for season 2 of Choosing Sides F1.
Our F1 102, if you will.
And get all of the answers.
All of them? Listen to Choosing Sides F1 on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts,
or wherever you get your podcasts.
Parents, if you've ever experienced bedtime battles with the kids, I'm going to let you into a little secret. The Koala Moon podcast has revolutionized over 20 million bedtimes, with parents like you calling it life-changing and the perfect nighttime routine. With original kids' bedtime stories and cozy sleep meditations, every episode has been specially designed to make bedtimes a dream. Listen to Koala Moon on the iHeartRadio app, on Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Discover a new educational and interactive podcast, Stories for Kids by Lingo Kids. Our episodes are packed with fun activities. Right, Elliot?
Oh, yes! We went shape hunting around the block, and we found spheres and cubes on the street.
That was great fun. Join Stories for Kids, the Lingo Kids podcast, inspiring you to learn while having fun. Listen to Stories for Kids on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.